When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We begin this morning with our thought leader conversation. Chuck Garcia is the Executive Vice President and Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. Chuck, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
I should say welcome back. It's good to see you again.
As well.
Let's begin with some developing news over the last day or so. Prudential Financial is one of the last big non-bank entities to now be taken off the too big to fail list. That's the end of the too big to fail. At least for these non-financials.
Correct, correct.
What is the significance of this?
Well, I think it's a rationalization, really, of probably an overreaction during the heightened crisis opinion. I think it's really good that that the regulators are looking at these entities now and determining that they don't really have a systemic risk to the financial system. They're large, but the actual payments and financial system, they really don't have an impact. And I'd have to say for Prudential and the others, it's a huge relief on the regulatory burden and the costs that are associated with sustaining and maintaining that.
I kind of went down memory lane this morning because I was trying to think what the others were. So the 2008 financial crisis trivia game this morning. Can you remember the other non-financials off the top of your head?
Thinking GE, AIG.
Yep. MetLife,
right.
Yeah. So those were the others. I didn't realize that. So what they did was some of these companies, all of them actually, they sort of lowered their threshold of what they were doing so that they wouldn't become that anymore. And the question I have for you is there a concern or is there a worry that this they could move back up again and this could become another problem, or have we gotten past that?
Well, you never say never, because the ecosystem of the whole financial system may change in some dynamic that we didn't expect. And so could the insurance industry or some other financial arms be impacted? Yeah, it could. I think what we know today and what we try to guard against, I would say it's unlikely. But, you know, again, the payments and the financial system can change, and some of the issues that we didn't anticipate in the last, something new could surface that they could, in fact. But I think it's a much, much lower possibility, in my opinion.
Yeah, and in talking with some of your colleagues here on Thought Leader Thursday, banks like Associated, you're really on guard against this. You have been ready to handle it.
Absolutely. You know, we're under $50 billion, so we have not had the same level of scrutiny of some of the other institutions. But nonetheless, the implications for banks our size and the cost of regulatory reporting, the stress test, et cetera, it's not insignificant. I know there's a lot of talk and the high probability of raising that, which I think, again, makes good sense given the financial environment, especially when you look at the big four banks and the percentage of the United States deposit base that they hold. That's fair. I mean, that is such a huge impact, not just on the U.S., but the entire global economy. I think those are fair. They're strenuous. They should be. But you go below those and the tiers drop off precipitously.
Experts say that are all pretty much in agreement that the financial crisis, if one develops again, won't be the same as the last time.
Exactly.
It'll be something new.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, you know, people are talking about student loans. You know, you can pick the topic, and they're all fair game because they're all intertwined in some way, shape, or form. And it's like anything else. You get too much of some concentration in one area. If or when it goes bad, more when it goes bad, it'll have an impact.
There has been a lot of discussion recently about the debt load of the country, rising interest rates, the debt load that even companies are carrying with rising interest rates, and the concern about how this might impact our economy. What's the fear here, and is it a real enough fear that we should pay attention to?
Well, absolutely. The rising interest rates, first you look at the U.S., okay, and the debt load we carry as a country, the costs of carrying that debt going forward are going to continue to get higher and higher. That will have an impact. Something gives, because if you're having to pay interest, some program will give or you have to tax more. So clearly that has an implication. As it relates down to companies, I'd say the vast majority of companies stockpiled a lot of cash, and they're still sitting on a lot of cash out there overall. However, when you look at long-term type investments and you're saying, do I invest in this plant? Because now a rate is basically double what it was 2 years ago. It's a different decision tree and it's going to get higher. I think we all anticipate it continuing to grow in terms of the rate. So as you look at those long-term type of decisions and investment decisions you have to make, it's absolutely having an impact, and I think we'll continue to do so.
And you talk with some of these companies on a regular basis. What are the concrete impacts short-term of this? You're hearing that plans are changing, that sort of thing?
I think they're looking at them differently. And it's also an acceleration. Some people go, hey, if I can lock in debt today at X rate and lock it in, it's a better decision for me versus waiting 2-3 potentially years out when we again all anticipate that rising. I think the good news is there are so many strong companies. The hiring is still very, very strong. People can't hire enough talented people today. So the near term really looks at more the hiring, but when you're looking at longer term, I think today's actually a good time to look at, should I go ahead and lock in a rate today on an anticipated project 2 years from now? It's probably a pretty good time to do that. You know, I think hedging today also, hedging swaps are really good alternatives for companies too.
Are you in the camp that the Federal Reserve is going to keep raising rates, or do you think they're going to stop?
I am. I think into 2019, it may not be four, maybe two, maybe three. I don't think it'll be as quick as this year, but I still think we are, when you look in historical terms, we're still at such a low historically. When you moderate it against 8 years ago, obviously it's huge, but when you look historically, we're still in a very, very low rate environment.
I know we hate to talk about politics on the Thought Leader Conversation, but the president criticizing the chairman of the Federal Reserve and the Fed, do you think that's good policy, and what's the danger there?
I don't think it is. I think, you know, forget your political affiliation. I think it's bad. It's bad to do that. The Fed is supposed to be, and I put in air quotes there, independent. It's not. It's a governmental agency, even though it's independent. But they have to look beyond the politics of the overall economy and really the worldwide economy in that sense. The U.S. is such a huge component there that we have to look beyond, you know, this quarter, this next 6 months of what is this impact for the U.S. and then the broader world economy. I think the Fed, again, this can be argued, no doubt. I think overall they do a very, very solid job.
Back to the debt from the government standpoint. Mm-hmm. At what point do we start getting, and maybe we're there now, where we, and this is part of a Brookings Institution study about how debt payments could be structured in a way that helps save us money, and they haven't been, that's not been happening. At what point does it become important to start looking at that?
Well, I think it probably did a year ago. I think we all anticipated the rise in rates that we are experiencing today. So I think when you look at situations where it's highly probable that rates are going to rise or fall, depending on which side of that curve you're on, that looking forward and trying to lock in nearer term lower, as I was talking earlier, a lower rate today versus 18 months from now, a year from now, that's a very solid policy to utilize companies and certainly the U.S. government.
Yeah, from the government standpoint, this Brookings report said that the failure of the government to optimize maturity structure of debt cost us about $40 billion per year. And that's not chump change.
That's huge. Yeah. Yes, that's a lot of programs. That's a lot of taxes out of you're in my pocket.
Yeah. Chuck, I know we've talked before about AI and how that's impacting Treasury and financial institutions. There's a new report. The 27th Annual Treasury Management Conference was held, and a report to that conference talked about how treasurers are not yet worried about AI replacing them, but they say that the significance of machine learning and AI is already significant now in banking.
It is. I think we did talk about this, and I think the thing I'm seeing, being in the treasury management world, we're still a very paper-intensive environment. And what we're seeing really begin to take hold is a lot of things that previously required an individual, a human being, keying entries, that now AI can be very, very effective at supplanting and replacing that. So it's happening today. I think the article you're referencing really is talking about the Treasury function itself. Mm-hmm. It stands to reason, because basically what the Treasury people do day in and day out is very predictive. You go in, you look at your balances. Am I short? Am I over? What do I do with that? So I think that's happening today with some of the cash forecasting models that exist in companies. But I think you're talking to a different level that hasn't yet taken hold, but it absolutely stands to reason.
Yeah, and the report suggested that Treasury operations that haven't done this yet should start small, but should start right away.
It makes sense.
Yeah. This is also cyber. October is National Cyber Security Awareness Month, and I know we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. but remind us again how to be safe with our banking.
Well, protect your passwords, stay on safe networks, don't click on links that you don't know where they came from or where they might go to. I think that is the biggest thing for the consumer in particular. You get an email, it looks pretty reasonable, and you go ahead and click on it, and all of a sudden you're in a world that you didn't know you even entered, and you may not even know it for months or years to come. I think that's the biggest thing, is safeguard your information, mm-hmm. safeguard your phones, your PC, but don't click on links.
Are you one of the people that would be a proponent of locking down your credit? We can now do that for free in Illinois. Freezing our credit, is that something we should do?
You know, I think it depends on what your individual situation is. I haven't heard of that specifically, but it, again, knowing what is out there and what can hurt people, I think it's certainly worth everybody looking at.
We haven't had, it seems, at least in a year, one of these big breaches. And that brings me to the next question. How dangerous is it to let your guard down on some of this stuff?
It's out there right now. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, we just probably don't know it. And is it on a large scale? Maybe, maybe not. I had a neighbor just recently get impacted on a mortgage that he was trying to set up for his son, and he was breached because he clicked on a link that it looked pretty reasonable, and lo and behold, his money ended up elsewhere.
So no passwords, 123456.
Use characters and longer, and change them frequently too.
All right. Chuck, always good chatting with you. We'll see you next time.
You as well. Thank you.
Chuck Garcia is Executive Vice President and Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. We'll continue with Chuck after the bell and post that in the podcast of the opening bell a little bit later this morning at WGNradio.com. This is the opening bell on 720 WGN.